Waiting out the rain? Maybe. No. I'm sitting on my couch. Today's not the day. It's not the right time. But we'll get there. We'll get back.
I understand. Nate, yesterday was, I think we all expected it, that they would go to one. It was just a matter of which date they were going to announce it, the 100%. It's great for the fans, the tailgating, everything. But let's get to brass tacks of this. How important is it for Penn State's athletic department? Financially, they got back to 100% at venues.
Somebody got mad at me on my message board because I made that exact point, you know. And I guess it rubs people the wrong way to say that this is purely a financial decision. Obviously, it's not a purely financial decision. It could not happen otherwise, right? There were no other options for Penn State athletics, for the university, and frankly, for this entire community.
For State
right?
College,
like,
yep.
State College, this place needs football. And there can be arguments and discussions about where it fits in terms of our cultural priorities. I'm fine with having those. But to deny what it means to have Penn State football pack in the house on Saturdays in the fall is lunacy. It's just, it's a detachment from reality.
Well,
it's huge. Obviously, not sure what you saw last night of Sandy Barber on the coach's caravan, but you know, her first word was finally, right? Yeah. Like they've known this has not been a secret, internally that things were going to head this direction. Obviously, you know, the governor's office has made that intent clear, but they wanted to have all their I's dotted and T's crossed and make sure everything was exactly the way it needs to be before they made the announcement. But this is what had to happen, no question.
Well, I've always been about the big picture of this. Obviously I think about football and men's basketball because those are the two sports, obviously, I announce. So obviously there's a direct attachment for me to each one. So that's critical. But I'm always thinking about the other 702 student athletes besides the 98 in football and basketball that are on scholarship. There are 702 other student athletes who rely on this revenue to have their opportunity. And that's how I look at it. Nate, do you see it the same way?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, I did think that, we're going inside baseball here, but one of the, it was curious to me that the university released a press release last week, either Thursday or Friday, about the self-sustaining nature of the athletic department for fiscal year 2020.
Right.
Because that's not the one that matters, right?
Right. That's the one that went to June 30th to 2020, not the one that's going to come out this year.
Correct. And so that number is important. It's positive for Penn State that they ran a revenue surplus. All of that stuff is good. But, and as Sandy acknowledged last night, there's going to be a deficit this year, right? They lost out on some tournament revenue at the onset of the pandemic, but a lot of that stuff was already in the books. They knew where they were going to come out for fiscal year 2020. 21, however, from July until this July, is going to be a different story. There were expense decreases, right, concurrent to revenue decreases. You weren't able to get ticket revenue, but they still got the TV money. But at the same time, you were spending less on recruiting expenses, travel expenses, all of those kinds of things. But as she said last night, you know, they're still expecting to have an $18 to $20 million deficit for this past year. But as you're saying, and to your point, that is critical to be $18 to $20 million instead of $50 to $75 million, which is what it could have been and might have been if things had continued. So, yeah, it's fine. It's going to be fine. But a huge part of that process of it being fine is what the announcement was yesterday.
I realize Ryan Snyder's the one that locks in on what I'm about to talk about here, but there's also a time management question that's involved here, because the dead period ended obviously this week. It ended yesterday. In terms of time management between camps and evaluations, when you've talked to some of the people up there, what have they told you about what it's going to take time management-wise to negotiate and make June successful?
Yeah, I mean, it's the opposite of last year, right? They got to figure it out, and they know. I mean, it's going to be hair on fire for a month. It's funny. I was delivering coffee to my wife yesterday, and I drove by the stadium. And
great. This is one of those like great saint moments where like all of a sudden like every husband out there feels like 2 inches tall. Okay, I got it.
Trust me, she can confirm this does not happen very often. but you know what? I didn't make the coffee in the morning. I owed her, so I drove by the stadium. And driving by the stadium, look. 10 o'clock on a Tuesday in June, you don't really expect the stadium sound system to be blaring.
And the scoreboard lit up.
Scoreboard all lit up, right? And I texted Ryan and said, hey, man, just FYI, they must be hosting people at the stadium. And he was like, yeah, dude, obviously, you idiot. this is the way it is for the next 30 days, right? They are going to be full bore, full go. It is recruiting, getting guys on campus, and making up for lost time in a lot of situations.
Yeah, it will be. I mean, there's no question about it. How did you look at the spring, Nate? I mean, in the end, you got a chance to watch a couple of the practices. What do you think in terms of their placement of where they are right now to set a foundation for what they need to do in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so much better than a year ago. I mean, I just hindsight obviously changes things a little bit. But as I reflect on last year, my main takeaway is how hard it was to take anything really seriously in terms of what happened, right? 0-5 and the offensive struggles and all that stuff, I viewed all of it through the lens of how could it be any different? Like, okay, maybe they win some of those games, right? Maybe they go 2-3 or 3-2 and things shake out at Indiana a little bit differently. But it wasn't a real season. And it's not a real season because not of the games they played, but because the 6 or 7 months leading into it were so abnormal. And even once they got into it, it was so abnormal. It's just not fair to expect a seamless transition or a seamless process to your goals if you cannot work towards them. And the bottom line last spring and last summer is that Penn State football was kneecapped in its ability to do those things from a variety of perspectives, more so than competitors who had the opportunity to have springs.
Including Indiana, by the way. Indiana was actually, yes, people don't realize Indiana had not all, but had a pretty good chunk of spring practice. So did Ohio State. Those are the first two games Penn State played.
So did Northwestern, happened to have a very successful season.
Maryland. Maryland actually had some. Yep.
Yep. So these were things that if you're paying attention, you kind of see, and those were all critical things. And so for me, if I'm evaluating this spring, it's not about the 15 practices that they had. It's about the next 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Spring practice is about, yes, figuring some things out from a coaching perspective, but it's also about giving your players the tools with which to work themselves, and so that's the whole thing. You gotta put your guys in a position where they can maximize every rep that they have over the summer. And guess what? They finally had that. They finally got that opportunity this spring. Does that mean that everything's going to be perfect? They still have issues to resolve, and there are still things that need to be shored up. But they're going to be so much better prepared going into this season than they were last year.
Let me give everyone just a simple guide as to the normal, you know, how abnormal last year was. Just look at the weights of the players.
Yep.
Right? They put out, what, how many times? 3-4 different rosters with weights on them last year? That sound right? So you have certain.
Yeah,
weights came out and the roster after they were done with the winter workouts. And they did, by the way, finish all their winter workouts a year ago. And then all of a sudden you get the summer numbers, and you're like, there are a lot of guys that lost a lot of weight.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, now you have to build that back up while then trying to get ready for a season. So, I mean, just something as simple as that, that should tell you how different it was. Just the simplicity of it.
I had an interview with Dwight Gault, right? Strength coach, you know, maybe, I don't know, let's say a month into the shutdown.
Yeah.
And Dwight, who you know, is an effervescent, highly motivated.
Yep.
You know, he's a light, right? Like, he's got a shining presence. Man, I sound ridiculous.
No, but you know
true.
What? But see, the difference is we know him, and that is how he is. I mean, he is a hardworking, focused, but positive individual.
And the point is, he was as depressed.
Yeah.
And there was nothing he could do, right? And so that was the whole tenor of that interview was, I don't know what we're going to do, right? Some of these guys, you don't understand, right? Like, they don't have access to equipment. They don't have access to anything. They're talking about going to Lowe's and buying 50-pound bags of sand so that some of these guys have anything to work with and to work out with. This is elite high-level training, right? With elite high-level facilities that you need to be able to do this on a day-by-day, hour-by-hour process. And to not have any of that at your disposal, it blows it all up. It was not possible to do those things that you need to do, you know, in those regards. And he knew it. He knew it, and that's how it played out.
Right. I don't know how often you had a chance to at least converse with Sean Clifford during the course of the spring. Now, obviously, you had a chance to talk with Mike probably, too, at some point. Mike Yurcich, I'm referring to. I got the sense in my conversations with him, there's work to be done. I mean, Mike will be the first to tell you, hey, this isn't where we want it to be. I don't expect it to be where he wants it to be in the spring. Right?
Yep.
But I sense Sean Clifford felt he was in a really good place. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, I think so. I'm not sure what else Sean can say, you know, but I do think that there's a little Mike Gesicki going on here, right? Where you have a little bit of success and things don't go the way that you plan, right? The year after that. And so Sean, again, like, I hate playing psychologist. We don't know these guys the way that obviously their friends and family and coaches and those kind of people know them. But Sean had some level of growing up to do, right? And that's easy for me to say. All right, I still haven't grown up. I'm Peter Pan. But Sean, the way he dealt with things, the way he responded to things, I think that last year, obviously the end of the 2019 season, were eye-opening to him. He hadn't experienced that before. He had not had, he had not endured those kinds of reactions and frustrations, and criticisms, frankly. Right. And so to have the experience that he had last year and to come out of it with some of the success that he did down the stretch, to get some of that mojo back, to have a new offensive coordinator, they're all steps toward erasing the bad. right? Towards being able to pivot and you know, I don't know what the high end is there. Like, I don't know what the ceiling is, but I know, and I think what some of his comments reflected this spring were that day at a time. And if you're moving in the right direction, that's all you ask for, is take the steps that you can take without taking steps back. And so I think that this spring presented that opportunity for him. I think that Mike Yurcich provides a clean slate. I think there's excitement there. But he's got to do it. He's got to do it, and he's got to do it in accordance mm-hmm. with some other elements last year that were not there, that didn't get the pub that they should have. The offensive line wasn't as good as it needed to be, mm-hmm. and that dictated quite a bit of how he performed at the beginning of the season, right? And that's, again, like, that's not a knock on Phil Troutline. It was the conditions. It was what they had to deal with.
Absolutely, yep.
But that impacted Sean's performance, and it kind of spiraled from there. Well, guess what? You got a clean slate. You get to work on it. You get to work with them. Restrictions are done. COVID's over. Hallelujah. Let's go.
Well, in fact, that will be my last question to you, Nate, because, you know, you mentioned your wife earlier. You brought her coffee, which was, you know, which is great. But also, it's what she does, I'm sure, helped shape how you felt about the pandemic. I think that'd be fair, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. No, yeah. So my wife's a physician.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So in that, in the last couple of days at the ballpark with the spikes, I have found people, I've found a lack of tension. I mean, I sense tension for the last year plus. Everywhere you turn. I mean, just going to the grocery store to go over and go, hey, I'd like to, pick up some cantaloupe and a couple of muffins. Okay, just stay away. Have you sensed now with this move to 100%, obviously, have you sensed the same thing, that there's that lack of tension is now gone and people want to let loose?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, look, like, I get the feedback from our Bluewood Illustrated community. I can tell you for myself that the in the context of sports in particular, the experience and the feeling last year were horrible, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you sensed it too. And it was things that I didn't appreciate. But walking into the stadium last year for the Ohio State game at night and driving right up to the parking lot and seeing no souls out there was horrible. It was awful. Mm-hmm. There was no novelty to it. It was depressing. And I don't think I knew how much I personally needed that return, right? We got to get back together.
Yeah.
We got to be around each other.
Exactly.
We need it. It's our souls. It's got to happen. I sound like a traveling minister here, but like it is integral to who we are and what this community is. And yeah, you get that step where, guess what? There are no legal restrictions here. And not only are there no legal restrictions here, but there's science behind it that says, hey guys, we can get back together. Yeah. We can start to do the things that we used to do and feel confident about it and less nervous. No anxiety that going to the ballpark is going to kill you.
Right.
That's huge. Right. That's
absolutely.
Huge.
Absolutely.
It's a major weight lifted, I think, from all of our psyches.
No question about it. My friend, it's always a pleasure. I enjoy every conversation we have. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, me too. Thank you for having me.